Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that gives you a bird's eye view of history every day of the week. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're talking about a landmark day in aviation. The one when human beings took to the skies for the first time with the help of a balloon and a lot of hot air. The day was November 21st, 1783. At a public demonstration in Paris, two volunteers embarked on the first free ascent in a hot air balloon. The fearless passengers were French aristocrat François-Laurent d'Arlandais and physicist Jean-François Pilatre de Rozier. The pair took off in a cloth balloon and traveled roughly 5.5 miles through the center of Paris to the suburbs. They were in the air for about 25 minutes, completely untethered from the ground below. The age-old dream of human flight had finally become a reality. The historic event was organized by Jacques Étienne and Joseph Michel Montgolfier, a pair of brothers who ran a successful paper business in southern France. They were inspired to invent the world's first successful hot air balloon after observing how heated air caused paper and fabric to rise. According to some historians, that realization came in 1782 when Joseph Michel was watching his wife's laundry dry over a fire. He noticed how her undergarments would billow and rise as the fire grew hotter. That led him to wonder whether a big enough sack of air could lift a human being in the same way. He told his younger brother about the idea, and together they began experimenting with lighter-than-air devices. After a bit of trial and error, the Montgolfiers succeeded in creating their first functional hot air balloon, something they described as, quote, a cloud in a paper bag. The brothers gave the first public demonstration of their invention on June 4, 1783. It was staged in the city of Annonay in southern France, not far from the Montgolfiers' papermaking business. Although the paper and sackcloth balloon was theoretically capable of carrying passengers, the brothers played it safe and sent it up unmanned. In a testament to their smart design, the 500-pound balloon rose nearly 6,000 feet in the air and remained aloft for 10 minutes. It was an impressive achievement, especially since the brothers were amateur scientists at best. For example, they actually thought it was the smoke from the fire that made the balloon rise, rather than air heated by the fire. That's why, when the Montgolfiers launched their balloon that summer, they made sure to build the biggest, smokiest bonfire they could. They chucked in piles of wool, rabbit skins, straw, even old shoes. The resulting fire was way smokier than it needed to be, but it still got the job done. The brothers' misunderstanding didn't hinder their future successes either. After the unmanned flight in Annonay, word of their invention spread across the country, and arrangements were quickly made for another demonstration, this time in the courtyard of the Palace of Versailles in Paris. By the day of that second flight, September 19th, the Montgolfiers had perfected their shoe-burning technique and felt confident enough to send up a few passengers. However, the effects of altitude on humans were still unknown, so no one was exactly eager to volunteer. King Louis XVI was one of the 130,000 or so spectators in attendance that day. He offered to provide two condemned prisoners to use in the test flight, but thankfully the Montgolfiers were able to talk him out of it. In lieu of human passengers, the brothers suspended a little cage beneath the balloon and loaded it with a sheep, a rooster, and a duck. The crowd watched with delight as the enormous blue balloon lifted the animals high into the air and traveled 2 miles before touching down again with all its passengers unharmed. Remarkably, the decision to send barnyard animals on a balloon flight over Paris wasn't as silly as it sounds. In terms of physiology, sheep have many similarities to humans and are susceptible to many of the same medical conditions. So if the animal had been hurt by its exposure to high altitudes, then there was a strong chance a human would be as well. As for the duck and the rooster, they were included in the experiment as controls, a bird that was capable of flying at high altitudes and a bird that was not. The altitude's effect on those animals, or in this case the lack of effect, provided further proof that a human could endure the same conditions. Speaking of which, the Montgolfiers managed to get a human airborne for the first time on October 15, 1783. Jacques himself became the first human to ascend into the sky when he made a tethered flight from the yard of his workshop. Later that same day, local physicist and eager volunteer Jean-François Pilatre de Rosiers became the second person to fly, when he also made a brief test flight while tethered to the end of an 80-foot rope. In the weeks that followed, Desrosiers and his pilot, François-Laurent d'Arlandais, made several more tethered test flights to get the hang of controlling the balloon. Then, on November 21st, 1783, they were finally ready for the real thing. The men appeared before a large, excited crowd on the grounds of a royal hunting lodge on the western edge of Paris. The daring aeronauts took their places on a circular wooden platform attached to the bottom of the balloon. Then they began feeding the fire by stuffing handfuls of wool and straw through openings on either side of the balloon's skirt. As the air inside grew hotter, the balloon gradually began to rise into the air, and the first humans to experience free flight rose with it. American statesman Benjamin Franklin was among the many who witnessed the balloon's historic takeoff. He later recalled the event in his journal, writing, quote, "We observed it lift off in the most majestic manner. When it reached around 250 feet in altitude, the intrepid voyagers lowered their hats to salute the spectators. We could not help feeling a certain mixture of awe and admiration." Desrosiers and d'Arlandais flew the balloon without incident for nearly half an hour, but had to cut the trip short when burning ash set fire to the balloon's fabric. Still, even with a hasty landing, the flight was a resounding success. The Montgolfier brothers were honored by the French Académie des Sciences for their achievement, and the pilots earned eternal bragging rights as the first human beings to fly. Unfortunately, Desrosiers also earned a far less prestigious title less than 2 years later. On June 15, 1785, the physicist turned daredevil was attempting to fly across the English Channel in a balloon filled with the deadly combination of hot air and hydrogen. Desrosiers died in the resulting explosion, making him the first flight fatality in human history. Other aeronauts learned from the tragedy and began making improvements to the design, controls, and fuel source of their balloons. In no time at all, people were taking to the skies in droves, some for thrills, some for leisure, and many for science. Atmospheric chemists especially made full use of the practical applications of hot air balloons. They used them in all kinds of experiments, measuring dew points and magnetic fields and testing the properties of various gases. In that way, humans gradually expanded our understanding of the miles and miles of air above our heads. That new perspective led to a firmer grasp of air currents, geography, weather patterns, and aerodynamics, considerations that would be crucial to the later development of airplanes. For now, though, we'll let the Montgolfiers enjoy their moment and save the Wright brothers and their story for another day. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you have a second and you're so inclined, consider following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can find us at TDIHCShow. And if you have any feedback you'd like to share, you can also write to us at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thank you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
Coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.